crimes or murder statistics. Do we have the things to measure that here?
The metrics in terms of frequencies, you can measure, right? But they're not necessarily the best data source for this sort of stuff. We're really thinking about this in more qualitative terms. Like, qualitative means quality of life experience. How has the quality of your life experience changed based on these sort of things? And those things you can do through sort of checking in and checking out. You really do that from talking to the young people. How were they at the beginning? How are they at the end? But also checking in and checking out with them as you go along each week to see if there's any changes. And you record those things. You do it by paper. You write it down and you go back to those notes and you see. And so the qualitative change are really a reflection of what they tell us. Do you know what I mean? It's very hard for us to measure it in terms of statistics and that sort of stuff. But we also teach them other things. Like, for instance, one thing I missed out is we also teach them how to be researchers in their own community, not to go and do anything dangerous, but to ask their family or their parents or someone a little bit older that they know, you know, how was it different 20 years ago to how it is now? So they sort of start to build a picture and a community picture. So they themselves become agents of change. And that's the qualitative measurement that you really want to see. And of course, that qualitative means you can't really measure it just sort of day to day. It's sort of a check back and a long-term process. So on some level, yes, but we're not looking necessarily for statistical number frequencies. We're looking more for qualitative evidence or measurements, rather.
And that is not necessarily a trick question, but I ask that too, and I'm grateful for that answer, because I always prefer kind of triangulation, because many times you have numbers don't tell the story, as opposed to reducing somebody to a figure on a piece of paper.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering if there are anything, if there's anything in the works for after this 15 weeks, because people going back to a context, you can see regression, you can see people going back to the same old, is there anything planned in the works after the fact?
Well, Roots Foundation, we have a project we're trying to really roll out. And hopefully with the help of Tumundo and Dylan here, we may get it off the ground. It's called Pathways to Success. It's a rites of passage workshop or program. It will run for 1 year, and we are hoping to use the same participants from this project to take part in that 1 year pilot project. Also, something that Dylan didn't mention, when you spoke about violence being normalized earlier, one of the first exercises we had, we asked the children, the young people, what are the different types of violence that they know existing within their communities? And interestingly, they called cyber, the whole line, and the last two, with some probing, they mentioned domestic violence and sexual violence. So we were wondering now if, in their minds, they don't see that as a sort of violent, because it was some probing and laid down to the end. Then one said, sir, domestic violence, you know? And that's how, that's something we're looking at in terms of how they view, how they conceptualize violence. Another partner we have is Nalis, who is on board through the Young Adults Library, right? Because, again, you want to create that space where they feel comfortable, and then they could go back now on their own, be a part of the library, right, and contribute towards their own human development, human capital.
Yeah, and something that NatCo was telling me as well about, you know, what you should do afterwards, you know, because one of the things that you're always quite scared about is you do these things and then down the line, you know, you've helped the kids for 15 weeks and then suddenly they're left on their own and there's not much to do. So MTMA has a good product. But I think also one of the things we're going to try to encourage is that, you know, every couple of months the group themselves continue to meet. You know, if they need me to come and facilitate it or they need MTMA, we will do that. But, you know, to set it up so that they can then be, you know, part of it, it can kind of have the momentum from them themselves, you know, so encourage them to take, you know, take the power back and meet, still talk about some of the things we were all talking about, we can kind of drop in too. So there's a level that we want them also to create the momentum in their own lives too, right?
And we gave them diaries where they could record their feelings, what's happening in their community. If they choose, they could share the information with us, but that's for them to start to express themselves, how they feel.
And I mean, just to add on this, I think important aspect of it is also the contact that you all the time build with the community, because this is not the process that we're working on with an individual or with a group, yes, but with them in their context. So that contact that they have, the chance to, you know, prepare songs, the chance to go and visit the communities, the contact that you are building with the school, all of this is in a way assuring that in the moment that they go, so to say, back to their communities, that the communities are supportive of the change that they've experienced. So it's a parallel process where you not just work with individual or a group, but also with the community. And I think that's one of the biggest strengths in the exposure that already Roots had in the community, and the trust that they build is that, you know, people will try to support the process or the progress of these young people toward better lives.
I want to final words, but I'm giving the opportunity for contact information. People who might want to find out more about the program, about Roots Foundation, how they can be part of the solution. Because many people, we know what the problems are, and we articulate the problems all the time, but we may not have an answer on our own. So in terms of people lending strength to this effort, how do they do that?
So my numbers are 272-6916. That's 272-6916. And also 479-4510, 479-4510.
My email, if anybody wants to touch base with me, is my name, dylankerrigan@gmail.com. So that's dylankerrigan@gmail.com.
All right, well, Natko Geresh.
Promundo has an excellent website with a lot of resources, so I would definitely invite people to, you know, see the work on how to engage men and boys in achieving more gender justice. But first of all, you know, when I was first when we first created contact, I went and looked at internet for Roots Foundation and saw that there's a lot of YouTube materials on the work that you previously did. So I think that's the most important thing for people to go and check out the Roots Foundation, the fantastic work that they do, the festival that you are preparing, because that's how you can create this contact between the young people that we're working with and the community.
Yeah, and I would just add that the Castadu Festival would be an opportunity for people to go and attend and see this live in practice, and that's in August the 1st to 5th, I think.
Yes, 1st to the 5th this year. We moved it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you talk about mango season as opposed to summer. So, Natko Geresh, Dr. Dylan Kerrigan, MD Masal Wazis, thank you so much for your presence and your efforts in what it is you're doing. And we ask you to continue staying tuned into Talk City 91.1 FM.
On the pulse of your issues, Talk City.